The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You can follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast, the Instagram and Snapchat. And also, you can follow us on iTunes. Bri, where can they follow us on our networks?
Well, if you guys want to follow us on our networks as well, there are several out there, and the several are the Shining Wizards Network, the Fans Podcast, and B-Plus Player Radio Network.
Yeah, and make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. And again, all social media platforms as well as TuneIn. We got a great show for you today. We've got the creator, Pat Buck. He joins us here on the show. Also hosts his own WrestlePro podcast, which is available on iTunes. And again, all social media platforms. And of course, guys, watch our YouTube channel. We are posting videos there. We've got tons of interviews there, as well as Brian's Adventures with the Trendsetter. You can follow him there too. Great show that he has. So just keep checking the channel. We will post new things, and there's our new venture here on High Spot Podcast. Man, what a week it's going to be. You got WrestlePro coming up this weekend. It's going to be amazing. We've got Alberto Patron will be there, Eli Drake, LAX, Sienna. It's going to be a loaded show, and man, I can't wait.
It's exciting. I mean, it's a weekend. It's the end, basically, almost of 2017. So what a great way, Jeff, to end the year. But also, a great early Christmas present for all us wrestling fans out there, because you get to see good quality wrestling towards the end of 2017.
Yeah, and before we continue, we got a message here from Side Scrollers in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Pro Wrestling Magic Superstars, a ring announcer, the championship belt, and a chance to manage your favorite wrestler at the biggest event of the year, Kingdom Come Copacabana. For Pro Wrestling Magic, meet them ringside at the WWE 2K18 tournament at 3 p.m. on December the 10th at Side Scrollers, located in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Do you have what it takes to be the Pro Wrestling Magic gaming champion? It's a great cause, great event, and also remember, if you win, you will be able to do all those amazing things at Pro Wrestling Magic on December the 16th from Ridgefield Park, New Jersey.
Not too shabby of a prize there, Jeff.
Yeah, so we start off now with we're going to hear word officially from Cody and the Young Bucks that this all-in show that they're promising in 2018, we're going to get maybe a confirmation date and location, and it's going to be the talk of 2018. And like you're saying, we're wrapping up 2017, but the future looks bright, man, for wrestling, independent wrestling, as you know, these events are announced, and it starts off with Jericho and Omega. So just a great way to start 2018 when Cody and the Young Bucks announce the date and when they announce the location of the all-in show.
Yeah, Jeff, I might be a little bit inaccurate when I say this, but we've talked about how this year has been a huge boom for wrestling. I mean, the biggest one I've seen so far since following professional wrestling since I was a little kid, right? But I just have a feeling in 2018, what we're going to see is we're going to see more of these types of scenarios happening. I mean, we talked about how certain people are leaving WWE. Now, the mindset might be that, hey, if there's no space for you there at the big top, which is WWE, you could make your name and make a very good living elsewhere. We've had plenty of talent and writers and people who have been promoters say that to us as we've had them on the show. So I think 2018 might be the mark of what Cody and the Young Bucks are trying to do. Could be a roadmap now for future independent stars. Maybe not necessarily right off the bat, but that could be the roadmap of, hey, if I can't make it to the, you know, big top of the big leagues, I can create my own big leagues, is what the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes are trying to do. I'm sorry, just Cody.
Yeah, right. That's kind of like the mindset now in 2017, because back in the day, everyone was afraid of, you know, if I leave WWE, where it's my future. You know, can I make the same kind of money? Can I be successful? And I think right now, guys like Cody and the Young Bucks are proving that you don't have to make it to the WWE. You don't have, or you can leave WWE and succeed on your own. All you have to do is take a chance on yourself. And I love Cody's message, his new motto that he has. He goes, spend it now, make more later. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to follow that motto myself, too, because you have to invest in yourself.
You have to have something you have to spend, though.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's true. That's what keeps me from doing the Cody motto. But but I definitely, though, invest in yourself, and it just shows you what you can do. If you have confidence and you can do it and you're motivating yourself every day, you know, it's going to pan out in the end.
Well, not just Cody's message. I mean, that holds a lot of relevancy, Jeff, but also just, hey, you know, we won't dive into it, but all the things we've been hearing the last couple of weeks, you know, life is short, man. You only go around this crazy merry-go-round once, as the old adage says.
Yeah, you only one crack at it, you know.
One crack at it, might as well make the most of it and worry about the end result a little bit later. So you're right. I do believe in something like that.
Well, Ronda Rousey's in the news as they say a deal is imminent for her to join WWE. Now, this is kind of like no hidden secret. She's obviously been training at the Performance Center from what we hear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, leading into the Mae Young Classic, you had the tease of the four horsewomen of MMA.
Say that again.
You kind of had the tease of the four horsewomen in MMA and the four horsewomen in WWE. So you kind of had that kind of confrontation already and kind of maybe teasing into maybe a Mania match or something for the Rumble. Yeah. Shayna Baszler signed already. Roderick Strong's wife is also involved some way in NXT. So you're going to get four of them, and you're going to get four of the four horsewomen in WWE. So is this surprising to you, or is this like, wow, you know, this isn't really the news?
For me, it's not as surprising because, like you said, I think the whole scenario with the relationship between Ronda Rousey and the WWE was a no-brainer. It was going to happen. But I think the only thing people are trying to be are interested in, I guess, from my perspective, is when it's going to happen. I'm guessing WrestleMania, that's when you're going to see it. But will it pan out? I think Ronda Rousey has the star power, so it's going to be a good deal for WWE. I just don't know what the long-term effect is. I can't see, personally myself, Ronda Rousey making this a second career in terms of you know, it being a one-off and things like that nature. I feel that might be it, maybe one or two, but I don't think Ronda Rousey's in it for the WWE long-term or professional wrestling.
So we were able to talk to actually Sienna from Impact recently, and we kind of asked her that question about what it's like for someone from MMA to come into the WWE. You know, kind of teasing that we're going to have the interview up soon, and, you know, she had no problem with it from what she told us, but she goes in depth on so many things. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens now when guys like Conor McGregor, when they get invited to this kind of world, to see what happens. But, hey, if it gets notoriety and, you know, she seems like she loves to do it, you know, I have no problem with her, you know, being in WWE. It's going to be something that everyone's going to want to see. Yeah. Kind of were teased into it at WrestleMania 31, too.
No, that's true. I mean, but you see both sides of it. You see the similarities between the two sports, or one's sports entertainment, one's mixed martial arts, but you see the similarities between the two. Yeah. Personalities, everybody's branding themselves, being a face and marketing themselves like that, and be able to talk and promote
comes
stuff.
Comes from wrestling and boxing,
comes
too.
From wrestling, yeah. Exactly. But also, you could see how somebody, whether they're in the business of mixed martial arts or in the business of professional wrestling, could be opposed to it, because you see so many people trying to work their butts off to get to that position, and then somebody else from another genre, another sport, comes in and takes it over. So you can see both sides of it. But, you know, Sienna, coming from a mixed martial arts background as well, kind of sees both sides of it. So she's probably more well-rounded than you and I could ever talk about.
Yeah, so make sure you follow us, you know, on the Twitter and on the Facebook page, and we'll let you know when that interview comes out. But also want to thank the 365 Promotions and Russell Pro.
Thank them, Russell Pro, yes. Yep.
So speaking of Impact, too, listen, they made the news recently, and Ed Norholm, who was owner of Impact, hired Scott D'Amore, who's, you know, synonymous with TNA, Global Force, Impact. He's mm-hmm. been there, and now he gets the executive vice president position as well as Don Callis, who, of course, you know, Jericho's friend. He's also the announcer for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Really a great mind for the business. And now both of them get their shot at trying to salvage Impact. And I think, you know what? It's been such a revolving door in Impact.
It has.
And I think right now, you know, you got to think that maybe this is the start of something, you know, to look forward to. They were on Jericho's podcast. They kind of laid the foundation of what they want to do. They want to be different from WWE. And I think that's the right step and the right direction. You need to be as far removed from WWE and try to compete with them and be your own thing. And I think that's where they kind of got lost.
I think that's what everybody tried to do in terms of when you thought it from the outside looking in. Obviously, we're not promoters. I'm sure a lot of fans thought they could do it. And, you know, I could fix TNA at that time or Global Force, and now it's Impact. But, you know, you just like to hope, like you've said, Jeff, it's a revolving door. You like to hope there's some stability, because that's the one thing that's keeping a company like Impact from just completely. I mean, they were so close to going bankrupt and losing the company altogether.
Yeah, and it didn't start out well either with Bound for Glory. There's so many just like little small details. And I think what they're going to do is those small details that kind of get left and fall and slip through the cracks, I think they're going to handle those because I think they really have a great mind for the business.
Yeah, and if you're a fan or an employee or a worker, whether you're in-ring talent or not in-ring talent, of Impact, you just want, like I said, some stability there, knowing, listen, these are the people we turn to, these are the main guys, because in other promotions, I'm sure, in Ring of Honor, New Japan, and even WWE, right, and you know, this is what Impact I feel has been lacking, there's not that one person, I have a question, go to that person. They don't have that random Impact, and you hope they build that, and once they do, I think that's when it'll work itself out, and that's when they can implement the plans, like you mentioned. Separate yourself from WWE. Don't compete with them. You want to be something different, and if you are something different, that will intrigue the interest of other fans to want to watch it.
Because you have Lucha, which is different. You have Ring of Honor, which is, and New Japan, which are kind of the number two promotions, so Impact has a long ways to go, but the future is bright, and you don't want to see places closed down for wrestlers. You want have places where they can hone their craft and they can be better, because the long run is still WWE. No matter what happens, no matter how successful the independents get, everyone has that WrestleMania moment and that dream. And the only way they can get better is, you know, to hone their craft in every kind of form of platforms. And Impact is another one. So hopefully they have a better 2018 than in 2017. Yes! What do you think of Matt Hardy with the broken gimmick, or the woken gimmick now in WWE?
Exactly. You can't say broken. It's a,
well,
he's a woken.
We can say broken because Matt Hardy owns it, but they choose to go with woken. Mm-hmm. So Bray Wyatt now enters the picture. And listen, it's been a forgettable 2017 for Bray Wyatt, especially with the Sister Abigail fiasco, him getting sick, the whole Finn Balor feud, you know, just, you know, considerable losses, the whole Randy Orton House of Horrors. It's just been a very forgettable year for 2017. But he could rebound, Bray Wyatt, with this, what I think is, if done right, could be a very interesting feud between Woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. You know, I'm looking forward to it, see where they go. It seems like Vince is on board. He's given Matt creative control. You see these little teasers on Twitter. I am really looking forward to this, but I tend to have a wait-and-see attitude on this, but right now it's exciting, and hopefully Matt uses this and can really succeed with this.
Listen, I'm happy for Matt Hardy that he has the ability now to use this character that he's done so well in terms of reinventing himself that he did in TNA, Impact, Global Force, whatever you want to call it nowadays. But what's the same theme we always use here, Jeff? If done right. We thought the whole scenario with the House of Horrors was going to be something interesting, something good, didn't pay itself off. The whole scenario with The Undertaker fell flat on its back. Didn't work out. The whole Finn Balor thing, was excited for it. The Demon and Bray Wyatt and how this storyline was going to work. No chemistry whatsoever. Fell flat on its face. Like you said, something Bray Wyatt couldn't control. He got sick. But again, the matches weren't that great. And now we have this, something we wanted to see when Matt Hardy was part of another company. We're like, God, how great would it be if these two characters meet each other? I just have a feeling we're going to see the same end result. You know, to me, this whole scenario with Bray Wyatt, I think he's above average in the ring, but I think I need to see more from Bray Wyatt. This whole mysterious gothic stuff, supernatural thing, it serves its purpose, Jeff, but not in this day and age where like kayfabe is kind of gone and a lot of people just kind of don't believe in it. I mean, look for The Undertaker. Like, we know he's a guy. You could tell he's aged, and we knew at the end, to the tail end of WrestleMania, this was it for him. So the aura of the dead man was gone, but it returns. We had so much respect for him. That's why we still believed in the gimmick of The Undertaker, this dead entity walking to the ring. Bray Wyatt, to me, he's kind of lost all that. Now, some of that has to blame goes on WWE. Some of it has to go on Bray Wyatt as well. I just don't feel, as excited as we are for this, we're going to get the result we want. Because look, we've had three chances at something really good and it hasn't panned out. I unfortunately feel we're going to get the same end result. I'm excited to see how this goes. I just hope, more for Matt Hardy's sake, that it's a success. Because you know what? I have so much respect for both men, but I think Matt Hardy's worked so hard on this character. It deserves the payoff that he hopefully will get.
It deserves to be on the grandest stage, which is WWE. We've seen it on Impact. We've seen it.
I was going to say WrestleMania.
Now, well, maybe we can see it at WrestleMania too, but the biggest stage is WWE. So hopefully, you know, the fans seem into it. They were going crazy for it when they saw it on the big screen. And so we'll see what happens in the upcoming week. So keep your fingers crossed. But Matt Hardy is woken. Yes.
Real quick, is it the biggest stage, though? Besides WrestleMania, is it the biggest stage? I mean, if we saw this on Impact, would it not have as enough
more people? More people will see it.
More people see it.
It's the biggest stage. WWE is the biggest stage. We talk about it. Everyone talks about it. The biggest stage is WWE.
More eyes on it.
More eyes are on it. Although now with social media, you never know. But I still think WWE is still the big stage.
I get you.
But Pat Buck joins us on the show after the interview. We'll get into some Roman Reigns. He made some interesting comments, and we'll break down NXT for you. And then we'll tease what we have coming ahead for the Jersey Wrecking Crew. But Pat Buck will join us. Of course, he is the creator. I call him the creator of WrestlePro, great wrestling organization in New Jersey. And, man, he puts on great shows. Of course, this weekend we'll be going to Rahway, New Jersey, where we'll be sponsoring that event. You've got Alberto El Patron against Eli Drake in an Impact taping matchup. Plus, you got Sienna, LAX, and just everyone, all the cast and crew from WrestlePro, of course. So definitely it's a great chance to go out them and go out and see them.
Yeah, if you want to see great wrestling, you want to see great entertainment, go to a WrestlePro event. You're not going to be sorry you paid money for your ticket. And Pat Buck, I feel, as not just a wrestler, you call him the creator, he's a man who wears many hats, and you'll hear in this interview all the hats that Pat Buck wears. And just, it's crazy to think that he does all these things and still goes out there and performs. So we'll get an idea of where Pat Buck is now, where he's going to be in 2018. So without further ado, here is the creator of WrestlePro, Pat Buck.
All right, we're here with, I'm going to say it, the creator, Pat Buck of WrestlePro. Pat, thank you so much for joining us. First of all, how's the podcast going?
I enjoy it. I love it. I'm more of a talk radio guy. I mean, podcasts too. Obviously, I love podcasts, but there's just something in me, even though I'm a really quiet guy, like, I just have these things in my head that I kind of like to just talk about. Maybe a year from now I can, get the old numbers up. I'm having fun.
As someone doing podcasting, and then also you have so many hats, wrestling, promoting, so many other things, how do you manage to keep sane on show nights when you have to have this, but you have to also make sure that, you know, the other talent is good, that that you've got the audience are happy? How do you wear all those hats and still be able to keep sane at night?
To be honest, I'm not sane. And if I was sane, I wouldn't be doing this. What helps me a lot is I believe in pre-preparation and planning. I've been doing this for a while, so I've been promoting for like 5 years, a little more, almost six maybe, but I've been in the wrestling business for, 16 years or so, like full-time years. Before an event, I like to figure out what can I get done before the event happens. And I've been doing that since like day one, because I saw the mistakes as other promoters made with, whether it be pay envelopes or insurance or the ring crew, or I address all the problems before the doors open, before the show day even happens. Because what happens on any wrestling show day is there's going to be problems. So what I'm doing now, even though I got a little free time I can talk to, which is great, I'm always going to be addressing problems the day of the show. So what I like to do is just address every problem that could go wrong before the show and make sure just it's organized. I'm very blessed where I kind of 5-6 years ago I decided, I'm going to give all I got to promoting, but that's what I do the other 40 hours a week, is I'm making sure that I can wear all these hats the night of, if that makes any sense.
Last time we were here, you and Dan Moff had an amazing barbed wire match. And a lot of people that were new to WrestlePro, that I invited to come by, they were like, you're right. I mean, this is all big time. You got the screen. You have the ring, which is, an amazing ring. The barbed wire setup was amazing. It seems like you promote as the fan, which is the right way. What is your goal for the rest of 2017 and going to 2018 for WrestlePro?
That's a loaded question. I mean, I do promote from a fan perspective. I try to promote, book, and do everything from the eyes of someone that is a casual wrestling fan, seeing my product for the first time, and also a smart mark. I try to look at it through all those eyes. I try to at least deliver. I can't deliver all expectations all the time through all those eyes, but enough so where someone watching can go, I can appreciate that, I can appreciate this. As far as 2017, 2018 goes, to be honest with you, before, I pride myself, I've done 100, I hate bragging.
That's okay, you can do it.
Okay. But, I got up to this is my 104th show, 105th show maybe. And before September, I was really looking at it's getting harder and harder to draw a crowd.
Yeah.
The job is getting more and more difficult. So I looked at the future and I was like, I don't know if I can keep up at this pace for promoting the amount of events I do. And then I said, I'll give all I got to promoting the rest of the year, and then I'll re-explore what I want to do in 2018. And to be honest with you, I think I'm completely full of it, because it looks like 2018 will be as loaded, if not more. I think I'm doing 26 events total 2017. I think it might be the same, if not more, next year. But it really comes down to building the towns, to doing financially being responsible. Out of 100-something shows, I openly admit I've lost money on 9 of them. I don't want to do that again. I want to keep growing these houses. I would like to kind of cut away, establish the newer guys more, cut away from the names I rely on. You know, tonight, right here, we have, you know, Katarina's here, Laurel from Impact, Terry, and I'm not saying they're drawing a huge
Thank
crowd.
You for Terry, by the way, Pat. Thank you
yeah,
so
Jeff,
much.
Yeah, Jeff, yeah, his 9-year-old self has made his day, basically.
So what I see with that is, like, I love having the outside people here, but it would be nice to come back here. And if I don't have that, well, then the budget can be allocated to something else. It could be allocated to my own guys. So they have a bigger payday. They can focus more on wrestling. Or I could buy a new fancy piece of equipment for WrestlePro. Or I can just kind of put that extra money into advertising the next event. So it's kind of a machine where it's just like, and this is one thing that holds true. Everything I make from WrestlePro goes back into WrestlePro. That can't be argued with. If it's, you know, I'm staring right now. It's driving me crazy that I have blood on my ring apron right now. My
it's probably yours.
It probably is. Either mine
and
or
Danny's.
Mom's. So I have to fix that. I just want to make this worthwhile. I've been able to have my living on this. I'm very blessed with that. But I'd like more schools. I'd like more shows. I'd like, you know, I do predict that someone, if not more than two, will be hired by WWE by the end of this year. Has to be. Or at least by 2018 in that year. I want to work with every company. I want to, there's things in the works. I'm not going to say them because they don't come true.
Yeah.
But I know other companies with more of a financial stability. I'd like to be able to run wrestling without having to go into my own piggy bank every time.
Yeah.
Because if I can do this with, I swear to God, my first show, I had 4,000 to my name. If I can be the one that's in charge of someone where I can take a little more risk and put a little more creativity and thought into with someone else's money, and I don't have to, and I'm not looking at, like, hey, let's divide this amongst the boys. But if I can do that with someone else's backing, I can be the strongest independent that there is. That I know. If not, take it to whatever level it needs to be taken to. So there's, like, all these long-term goals or short-term goals. But the short-term goal is, hey, right now we're looking, I don't know, maybe there's 120, 130 people in the building. I'm hoping with the next hour, maybe we can get to 250, 300. This show goes good. I hope I book another date here. And then we're on to next week and the week after and the week after that. So it's really just coming down to a territory style of just drawing as much as we can, doing good business, making sure all these talents are paid for, the building's paid for, the building makes money. Hopefully I make money. Hopefully everyone gets what they need. And then we just keep adding another notch to the belts and just keep going and going and going until, you know, and then expanding from here. Maybe we can get further away and you know, just keeping up, just keep expanding, man. Just, it's never enough. It's never enough for, you know, at the heart of it, I'm a mark, I'm a fan, but I'm also, I'm never happy.
Yeah.
And I'm never satisfied. So I just want to keep taking this to the next level and just see where this goes. You know, could we have a good reputation. Let's make it a great reputation. Let's keep going on and on. And, you know, thanks to support of the patrons, the fans, you know, supports from shows like this, that could be possible. So we'll see.
Definitely. And we partnered up with Pat for the rest of the year, and we want to promote it, especially North Jersey, because that's some place where you guys, I think you guys have a bright future there. If you guys decide to go up to North Jersey, we'd love to help you promote there. Just your thoughts, too, now, for example, about the end-all, be-all of independent promotions like this one, where WWE is not the main place to go now because people can make an honest living in different promotions. Just your thoughts on that and how things have changed with, for example, guys like Neville leaving and, you know, maybe more to come. Like, just your thoughts on how wrestlers can make a living now on independence.
When you say end-all, be-all for who?
Sometimes for the guys that have that aspiration to, hey, WWE or bust or my career, you know, or I didn't make it.
I didn't make
it,
basically.
It doesn't have to be the end all to get your name out there.
It depends on, you know, where you're at. If you're a guy in WWE there obviously there is life after WWE. I've seen people take on the independence, and you know, it depends on what you really want to get out of wrestling. What I mean by that is someone like a Neville, with the exposure he's had, with the skill set, with the attitude, I truly believe can make just as much income as increasing his worth long term to eventually go back. The WWE right now and probably forever will be the end all be all. So it comes down, if you get to that level of performer where you're actually working for that company, I think that there's different ways where you can up your worth outside of there. A good example comes to mind is Cody Rhodes. Is like Cody leaving and doing all the things that he's done, I truly believe he goes back there and he's going to be in a better position than he was when he left the company. Some guys, most of them don't go down that path. There's a lot of guys that have left, different reasons, and I don't know if they would have the same worth. Now you could be booked well and, you know, hop levels and be featured. I mean, there's guys that see TV time every single week and their value is great just because they're on TV every week. But for the independents, I just think that they're at a time period now where if you've had any WWE exposure, even Impact exposure, I'm a guy that's making his living in 2017 in professional wrestling. Granted, I'm a promoter, I'm a trainer, but I would kill for have the exposure of a 205 Live guy. If you figure out to get that little bit of exposure, you can figure out a way to make wrestling work for you. It may not be the greatest amount of income, but to survive, the amount of companies there are, you can make it work. It's always a hustle, it's always a grind, but I really believe if you really put your mind to it, you know, you can, it depends on what you want to do. I'm kind of all over the place, but
that's the way you love, because you're so enthusiastic about everything. I mean, something that last week we had Al Snow on the show, and what we loved about talking to him is he kind of didn't go all over the place, but was very passionate about what he was talking about, especially when we were talking about his wrestling school and how you train as well. So my aspect goes back to the training aspect. I mean, everybody wants to be a star. And, you know, I've spoken to several talent. They're like, you know, I'm a good wrestler, but I'm not good in the microphone. When you teach and you go and you train individuals that want to come and be trained by you, what's the hardest thing you think it takes for somebody to grasp? Now, obviously, there's a huge learning curve. But what do you think is the hardest thing for people to kind of grasp when they want to commit to become a professional wrestler?
The hardest thing, it varies from individual to individual. There's some guys that join my school. I'll tell you this much. There's guys that train with me now and some that are going to be on the show tonight, and I won't call out names. They may have joined my school and they're not the greatest athletes. But they're in it, and they're going to be in it for life because they have such passion. They realize they may not be the best athlete, but you have to get in somewhat shape to be a wrestler. And they stick with it, and where they find a way to work around their weaknesses, and they're devoted, and they enjoy wrestling. Will they have a career? I don't know. They might get lucky. Maybe they change their bodies. Maybe they strike gold. You never know what could happen in wrestling. On the same token, I've had very athletic guys who are not the biggest fans of professional wrestling, who aren't like passionate, join my program, join my school, and they're gone in 3 months because they can't understand how much. This is still a starving artist profession. And they're like, wait a minute, hold on. Even, let me tell you guys, for the amount I've done, which people, again, no TV exposure, but just promoting the shows, training, having a little bit of credibility, to this day, 15 years in, and this is probably very revealing, I don't know if I can command a $150 payday from a promoter. How do you explain that to someone who wants to sign up and who's like, well, I want to make a career of this within like 2 years?
Yeah.
I've been doing this so long. Now, granted, you could go to WWE and that could change. Uh-huh. Or maybe you become an independent darling. That could change. Maybe, you know, you can get lucky. But on the most part, you know, and dare I say, $150 isn't that bad on the independents.
No, it's not.
So when you break that down to someone, I hear a lot of people, you got to do it for the money or something like that. To me, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You got to do it for the love. You got to grind. I ate shit for 10 years in wrestling before I could even, you know, make something to barely pay my bills. And some it happens earlier, some it never happens for. And it's brutal. And they're the guys, you know, 20 years in, 30 years in. And you see them, whatever. But it just varies, man. It varies on how much you want to do this, how much you love it.
And what's the best advice you've ever gotten from either a promoter or a fellow wrestler that you still use today?
Best advice would have been to quit. But
been the smart thing.
You
Can't quit that passion, though, Jeff.
Best advice, I think, is that you're going to get a lot of advice. Some of it's right, some of it's wrong, but you just got to find out what works for you. And that's the way I teach, you know, and I've broke it down on my own podcast. Like, there's, I can teach you so many different ways to hit the ropes or to do a simple hold. And some people be like, no, you need to do it that way. You need to do it this way. You just got to find what works for you. And that's kind of the truth. And also take advice from people that you think are awesome or good, because there's too many people in the locker rooms. There's a lot of Indians playing chief.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of bad advice and a lot of bad habits. And when you're in wrestling, you're kind of, most time you're scared when you break in. And a lot of times the first person you kind of speak to or that takes a leadership role with you, you tend to get mind meld and you believe everything they say. And I've seen guys 15 years in wrestling, they're still following the first person or trainer they met who's literally never done anything. So you got to be careful.
And speaking of careful, I mean, considering last time in Rahway, New Jersey, careful was not on the mark right there with you and Dan Moth. But, you know, something I've always enjoyed talking to obviously yourself and other talent is that they've been very quick to accept failures and things that they've done, but also know what they need to improve on. So compared to 2017, 2018, what's in the future? Not necessarily for Russell Pro, I know it's very important to you, but for Pat Buck himself in the ring.
Oh, in the ring. Here, the truth is there's no bigger high than wrestling. I love wrestling, and I would love to do it weekly. I find that, but I hate wrestling and promoting. I hate running the show and then finding a way to have a match, because I want to do one thing well. And I can fake it, and I've been, you know, blessed to have really good matches in Rahway. If I've a couple times I have headlined there and been able to put together a decent enough main event where I can see people are leaving happy. But it's too stressful for me to do that. So if I can, like, you know, I would like to work for maybe another place in a mixture of a performer role. But at this point now, my value is behind the scenes. However, I still think I have a lot to contribute in the ring. It would just be nice doing it for someone else and not doing it for myself so much. Yeah. So I don't know what the goal is, but the thing is, I'm not going away. I do think that if I was on, quote, TV tomorrow, I'll figure it out. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'd be good. I'd do whatever they ask me. But I don't know. And that's what we'll find out, I guess.
But taking yourself from the talent role, though, I mean, we know what you can do in the ring. We've seen it. We're very huge fans of what you can do in the ring. Is there anything else maybe in terms of on the microphone that you need to get more comfortable with? Because you seem pretty comfortable now talking.
Yeah, I just never had a place. You know, when I had my own shows, like, promos are my favorite thing.
Yeah.
If I could be a TV manager in pro wrestling for the rest of my life, sign me up.
I mean, no, that build-up with Danny Moth was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It was like behind-the-scenes stage, like UFC, like looking forward to this big fight that was coming up. So I was that's your forte.
And that, honestly, complimenting you is like just the minds that you guys have here, too. I mean, that promo that he was talking about, that video, and just what you guys do. It's like, you know, you have a great mind for it.
Thanks.
Man. I really do.
I mean, it's militaristic. We have things here where people get that they have to contribute here, and we all work hard. I love to, even though you get me in a room with all my friends, I'm not saying a peep. I'm very quiet. But podcast stuff, wrestling stuff, I love to talk. I wish that could be a thing. TV manager, that'd be fucking awesome. Not very good at commentary. I'm kind of really bad at it. But I always thought it was weird to speak on the microphone at WrestlePro, because I always think, obviously the fans know I'm promoter guy. So it's really weird for me to cut wrestling promos or to... And I'm quick to crap all over things. Like, I don't really like a lot of storylines unless they are well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen too many bad independents with the authority figure. And you see it enough on TV every week.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. So it's like, if I talk, I want it to be genuine. And it's really hard for me to do a wrestling-style promo because I just want to figure out a way to make it real.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that answers the question, but I do like to talk.
Pat, on behalf of us, we want to thank you for this partnership that we did towards the end of the year. Really become big fans of Russell Pro and what you do. So on behalf of me and Brian, thank you so much, man. Appreciate
thank
it,
you.
And good luck with the podcast.
Appreciate
again.
You having me.
Again, the luck is for losers, though. He doesn't need luck, though.
He doesn't need it, man.
All right, and that was Pat Buck, and actually he was able to give us a few minutes after promoting actually an event in Mattawan that day, so it was really crazy that he was able to take the time out there, but he's a busy guy, man, and listen, you know, talking about 2018, the futures are bright for WrestlePro. I think he mentioned too in his last podcast that the last WrestlePro that he did was very successful. He had Jake the Snake, Jack Swagger there. And, you know, from what he says, it was a financial success. It was a gain. So for anyone who thought or maybe rumors that they might do less in 2018, I think Pat's kind of seeing that less isn't more. I think that the amount of shows that they do this year, I mean, maybe they scale it one or two shows back, but I think it's a bright future for WrestlePro.
Well, look at this, Jeff. We see Pat usually from a distance. We see him going back and forth, doing a bunch of things. You could tell he has a lot on his mind because he has to around showtime. But, you know, him talking about how he might have bring in the reins a little bit in 2018, I think now more than ever, he's seeing the success, the following that WrestlePro is getting. So to now, what he said, he wanted more financial successes than losses. And now understanding the promoter aspect of it, you're going to get some losses sometimes. It's just inevitable. It's going to happen, right? But I think he sees that there's so much momentum going behind this that, you know, he honestly can't hold back anymore. He has to continue doing what he's doing now. And, you know, that's just a great for the audience. It's great for the fans to follow WrestlePro to see more events like this because they have such a huge following here in New Jersey. But also, it's great for the talent of WrestlePro.
They have a great relationship with Impact right now. So hopefully that, you know, they got Fala Ba, Mario Bacara.
Works both ways.
You know, they're there for WrestlePro, and they also work on Impact, so again, he's got that access too. And just meeting everybody there, they're all driven. They all want to make it better. It's a team aspect there, and it's first class. I mean, Jack Swagger, you know, made compliments to them about WrestlePro. They hear a lot of it. So again, here's to Pat, and hopefully a better 2018 and better things to come for WrestlePro. Of course, they actually have Emma in February, so that's a good get. Her first appearance after WWE, so she will be there. Tenille will be there. So hey, what a way to start 2018 for Pat and WrestlePro.
I couldn't think of a better way for myself, Jeff, to start 2018 than Tenille Dashwood. So she's going just by Tenille, I think. So her and Angelina Love in the first ever WrestlePro women's main event in February. So that's gonna be something exciting, something pretty historic for WrestlePro.
Of course, that Pat Buck interview was sponsored by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out their entire winter fashion line, including brand-new long-sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Just in time for the holidays, it's Collar and Elbow.
Yes, and just for holiday season, definitely get yourself some merchandise.
I know you always sport the collar and elbow cap, which always looks good on the trendsetter.
It's fashionable.
It is very fashionable.
Especially to cover my ugly face up.
Now we go to, of course, the lightning rod, which is Roman Reigns. And he was the first ever guest on Corey Graves' brand new show, Straight to the Source. A lot of interesting things to say. One quote is, you know I'm the best performer in ring in the world right now. Scratching our heads. You can go to my matches and my pay-per-views over the last 3 years. And you can say I'm an idiot for thinking that. Or you can be like, man, he's got a point. You know what I mean? I didn't come here for any other reason. Now, this can be led for a long debate, but because we don't want to dedicate a whole show to this quote, I'm going to put it simply as this. The man has confidence. The man is the guy considered by WWE and Vince. And I think the end-all be-all is Vince McMahon, and he's putting the rocket on Roman Reigns. Whether you agree whether he's a good promo guy or a good wrestler, that's up to you. It's up to debate. It's always up to debate. We've had tons of people say that, hey, he's not good. Oh, the John Cena and the AJ Styles carry him. The Cena match with Roman Reigns wasn't that good. Yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, this is the guy that WWE is going with. Now, you can dissect this interview and you can dissect these quotes to what you want to interpret it as being.
Well, let's be honest, Jeff. For me to dissect it, it will take forever. Like, you're right. We have to dedicate a whole show to it, piece by piece, dissecting not only his in-ring performance, his look, his likability in terms of the locker room, in terms of the audience he's targeting, and just by, you know, can he be the face of the company? We can do the comparisons to John Cena all day. Ultimately, the fact is, WWE has kind of made it perfectly clear they want him to be quote-unquote
the guy. No doubt about
it. And so there is no debate about it. So Roman Reigns can make comments like this that in some way are very absurd to make, but ultimately are true, because no matter what, he is going to be the guy. He's worked his butt off. I'm never going to take away from somebody's work ethic to get to that point.
I don't think he's been handed it. I just think that the company is force feeding him. That's a difference, right?
Well, yeah, that's always been the argument we've always used. You know, it's different because we always want things to be organic, authentic, whatever you want to use. And, you know, with fans, they always want to rebel against it. So whether they're smart marks or they're rebelling against it because they want to see somebody else in that position or they just don't want to be told what to do, that's up, you know, for another discussion. But for Roman Reigns to make those claims, you know, I can't knock the guy for saying that. Do I personally believe that stuff? No, I think. But again, you know, Roman Reigns has shown confidence in anywhere he's gone.
But what are you gonna say though? What would you want him to say? Oh, I'm not that good.
You wouldn't expect him to say anything more than that.
You gotta think you're the best, right? You're WWE, you're the man. You're the big dog. So why would you not say these things?
Exactly. Why would Eli Manning not say he was an elite quarterback in the past and everybody, you know, completely destroyed him on that?
You have to think without that. Eli.
Exactly. You have to think that way. If you're a quarterback, if you're the main guy on a team and you're the star, you have to think you're the best.
You're
the
best option for that company to succeed.
Yes. And Roman Reigns thinks that. He believes that. He knows it in his heart that he is that. WWE believes in it. That's why they push him in the direction they push him in. And that's what you're ultimately going to get. I feel his wrestling has improved leaps and bounds from where he started. His in-ring promos are something not to be desired. But again, at the end of the day, we said similar things about John Cena. And look, he's become the face of the company for almost a decade, more than a decade now. And, you know, his in-ring ability has improved, but he could sell you in a building. Roman Reigns has that appeal, has that look about him, has that marketability to be the face of a company. So, you know, to sit here and debate about it, it's not going to happen. He has to say that because he believes it. And what else is he going to say?
Is he the best in the world right now?
No.
I don't know, but he's top five? Top 10.
Probably top 10.
I could just name right now, I would say, as far as the whole package, I would say AJ, Kenny Omega, Okada, and I say Roman Reigns in my top five.
Okay. But again, it depends how you define top five. How are you defining it? By in-ring ability? Are we defining it all around? Because there are a lot of factors there that I think that's why Roman Reigns isn't in my top five right now.
I also wanted to mention, though, as we head towards the end of the year, we will be having our award show, so we'll have a little bit the best wrestler of the year, you know, just maybe five or six
best
categories.
Match of the year.
Yeah, you know, we'll maybe give a little WrestlePro award too, because we've been covering it so much. We might give like the WrestlePro wrestler of the year or something like that.
Yeah.
Still brainstorming that, trying to make it concrete, but you know, it's always fun to have those end of the year award shows too. So I think we might do something like that towards the end of the show. Listen, we're winding down the year and we've got amazing shows lined up for you guys. And again, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, High Spot Podcast, our Facebook pages, YouTube channel. Also leave a review on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. So subscribe, download, leave a review, guys, because that's how you help us improve this show. I think the show is going right on point. I think we're making the right decisions. I think we're making tons of progress. I think that 2018 is going to be a bigger year. I think we're finally getting our brand and our name out there. I think people are recognizing us and know that we're doing a great job, and we're trying to make this the best show possible. Give you a little spin on wrestling, because there's tons of millions of wrestling podcasts. We want to give you a reason to come to this one and get your information. I mean, we get good compliments, we get good feedback, but we want a lot more people listening to the show in 2018. So guys, we've made tons of promises in 2017, but really, you guys, you know, 2018, we're going to, you know, carry out those promises. We promised you a YouTube channel. You're going to get a lot of quality there, a lot of free quality too. You're also going to get more interviews from people, you know, that are headlining stuff now. And we might have surprises too for next week's scheduled interviews. So again, just make sure you follow us on all our social media platforms. High Spot Podcast, the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Martin, the Trendsetter, doing this show for you, the fans of wrestling. And now we go to NXT. Sorry, I had a little bit of a rant there, but just had to let that out. NXT, man.
The
people's brand. Andrade, St. Almson, Zelina Vega came out to celebrate. Of course, Zelina Vega has been probably the best thing that happened to Andrade in 2018. Andrade is just, I think, a full go. Maybe the promos need to work a little bit more. Maybe he can speak a little bit in Spanish and Zelina can kind of, you know, translate. But I think right now you can see the vast improvement. It's a different Andrade St. Almson compared to the beginning of the year.
No question about that. But again, in terms of promos, I think he did a good job delivering what he wanted to get the message across to the NXT universe. But when you have a mouthpiece like Zelina Vega out there, you don't really need to talk that much. That's why it's a great combination. It's a great team. It's a great connection between these two. And I think right now Andrade is on the right path, because not everybody expected him to be at this point, but I bet you one person knew he was going to be here, and that was Andrade. Yeah, you can definitely see it.
Yeah, and the confidence is oozing right now for Andrade Cien Almas. So we had a no-holds-barred match between Ruby Riott and Sonya Deville. Of course, these ladies now are on opposite SmackDown and Raw brands. And what do you think? Sonya Deville comes out with the win. Ruby Riott kind of a little step back with the loss. But, you know, honestly, who cares? Though? They're not NXT anymore. So this is just, you know, sugar
coating. Well, I care. I like them in NXT. You know, I'll miss both of them. As much as I've kind of been sour in the whole Sonya Deville experience, I just kind of want the best for her. She has that look. She has that appeal. Her. I just want that character to be used correctly, because you know what? At the end of the day, who suffers? She does.
I just don't want WWE to lose faith in these girls once the storyline is finished. You know what I mean?
Because so I might sound like I was bashing her, but I'm more like I said,
encouraging.
Like you said,
you're like, that,
I want,
you're like
I want these girls
to, do good.
To have believability, not from the audience, but also from the higher ups. Yeah. And, you know, by that being said, it was a really good match. You know, I'll give Sonya Deville some credit where she really came out and worked well with Ruby Riott. I think they had good chemistry together. And it's sad to see both of those ladies go, because I kind of want to see where both of them, especially Ruby Riott, would progress in NXT. But hey, now they're up on the main roster, SmackDown
Ruby
and Raw.
Riott with two T's now.
Two T's. So is it Ruby Riott?
No, just Ruby Riott. Okay. But it's WWE wanting to, you know, be different when they're up on the roster. But good no holds barred match. And then William Regal announcing that there will be four matches and kind of a tournament to determine who will be the number one contender for the NXT Championship, who will take on Andrade Cien Almas at TakeOver Philadelphia. And we got Killian Dane, who is a member of Sanity, against Trent Seven. Was it Mustache Mountain? Is that what it's called?
It's Mustache Mountain. Yes.
I love Trent Seven. If I can just go for his body, I would be happy. You tell me at the gym, what kind of body do you have? And you know
I
what?
Thought you were going to say if you can go for his beard.
I got a little bit of the love handles, but I'm like, you know, if I can make it to Trent Seven, I think I'll be fine.
Well, hey, if that's your goal, Jeff, then hey, I wish you nothing but the best, obviously. But yeah, I mean, for me, Trent Seven, too, is somebody who really appeals to me just because, you know, he's that everyday average guy.
Wait, you said Trent Seven 2 or Trent Seven?
Trent Seven
2.
2.
No, I'm just busting chops. I think it went over your head there, Trent Center.
I thought you said Trent Setter. Get it?
Yeah, nice.
But he has a huge appeal to me. You know, for me, the United Kingdom tournament and all the athletes from the United Kingdom tournament are just, you know,
too sweet.
Too sweet. Leaps and bounds over expectations when anybody thought. So I'd like to see more of them, hopefully more on NXT TV. But yeah, Killian Dane, a guy that, you know, has the equivalency of, you know, compare him to like a Bray Wyatt, for example, or a guy like Braun Strowman. I mean, these guys his size aren't supposed to move
so agile, man.
The way they're supposed
Very
to.
Impressive.
And, you know, as much as he plays that sinister guy on TV, what a nice guy he was when we met him at the Performance Center. Yeah. So that's all I can think about. What a nice guy.
Great
and all his hard
impression.
Work is paying off. And I'm glad to see he's in the tournament, because to me, if you look at the whole faction of Sanity right now, I mean, as much as I love Eric Young, you know, Killian Dane is some guy you can kind of push. He can kind of be that monster of NXT.
If he were to break away, he probably could have the most success.
He could. I think we're getting a little glimpse of what might happen in the near future with Killian Dane.
Johnny Gargano and Cassius, I'll leave that for you.
Oh, no.
I love it when you do that. I love it. Cassius, I don't know. If it was up to me, he'd wrestle every week, because I could hear you say that. They made a claim for a late push to be the match of the year, because this match had everything. Listen, there's no doubt Johnny Gargano is an amazing wrestler. Great baby face. The crowd loves him. He's ultimate underdog. If he ever gets to that point in WWE or in NXT, if he does get that championship push,
yeah.
If he can get over the whole Ciampa thing, which he did here because he comes out victorious, great match. I mean, there's really nothing you can dissect about the match, but again, are they going to go with Gargano? Are the reports that he got pulled from a championship match with Andrade Cien Almas to take over Philadelphia, could that be true? Like, what is going on with Gargano outside of WWE? Because we know he's great in the ring, but what do you think they're thinking about outside of the ring?
I think what they're thinking about outside the ring is like, and I hate to say this, maybe it's the Daniel Bryan effect, where guys who are basically, and you like to think size doesn't matter now in the WWE. We've gone past the fact that, oh, you're not 6 foot, you're not 200 or 300 pounds anymore, you're not a giant, you don't look like a bodybuilder type. We hate to think that that's now the cause that somebody like Johnny Gargano, for example, or even a Cassius Ohno, it's not believable. I mean, because you look at these guys in the ring and they can go. The crowd believes in both of them. So when you look at the Daniel Bryan effect of how he got injured, then you look at where Finn Balor is in the current situation he is in the WWE. And now you compare it to a guy like Johnny Gargano. I hate to think that's the reason why they're pulling it, for the mere fact that you had a guy like Drew McIntyre. I made the jokes to Adam Cole, but at the same time, I think Adam Cole is talented as hell, but I'm fearful of the fact that because he's undersized a little bit, will it not be believable? I don't know. I think to me that's the scariest thing in the scenario. To me, nothing else makes sense for any other reason. Unless he is having issues outside the ring, Jeff, I don't know. But if they're looking as, can Johnny Gargano be believable as a competitor? I mean, these two have faced each other before. Andrade Cien Almas and Johnny Gargano have had great matches that take over Brooklyn. Yeah. Just look at that. That's proof right there. I don't know. But to me, I have a feeling that might be something to do with this whole scenario of why Johnny Gargano may or may have not been pulled from the championship match.
I'm going to say one thing, and I think I'm going to make the claim for it, that I'm probably the one that has a great eye for talent. I told you Lars Sullivan is going to be the man eventually in NXT. I still say that by mid-2018, the man's walking as the NXT champion. I think the man is talented. I think they've got an eye on him. I think that he is definitely going to be a guy that's either contending against Drew or somebody else. But that guy is walking with the NXT championship early in 2018. That's all I'm going to say on that one.
Yeah, it wouldn't be far-fetched to say that too, but when you, depending on a healthy Drew McIntyre, where that goes, but again, I wouldn't be surprised to see that either.
And next week, you've got amazing matches, man. You got a dream match between Adam Cole, baby, and Aleister Black. I mean, come on, that is going to be a tremendous matchup. And then you've
that
got,
is a takeover match right there,
exactly,
at Full Sail University.
I think Mauro Ranallo said that. That's like a takeover match right there.
Oh, he did it? I didn't even hear him say that.
No, I know, but it is a takeover quality match. So, I mean, that... great to look forward to next week, as well as Peyton Royce taking on Ember Moon, the brand new women's champion. So we'll see what happens to that. But again, we know that Peyton Royce can go now. She's on another level, and I think she's taking it to the next step. Who knows? I think, again, she's somebody that if she sticks around in NXT, and I think WWE has plans for her, because I don't think they would put her up there if they didn't have plans for her. I think that she's somebody that in 2018 is going to do something special in NXT or WWE.
Yeah, you want to talk about breakout years. I think 2017 has been a great year for somebody like Peyton Royce.
I think she's the most improved wrestler in 2017.
Completely agree with you there. And 2018, who knows what's left for her
away
to do.
Did they give it away for her award show?
I don't think you did, because there are some candidates out there. But again, we're just kind of talking in general. Yeah. But in 2018, you know, who knows what's going on there? Because if 2017 is anything like 2018, wow, sky's the limit for somebody like Peyton Royce.
All right, guys, we're going to put a ribbon on the High Spot podcast for this week. Again, we thank you, Pat Buck, so much. The creator of WrestlePro joins us. Of course, he has his own podcast, the WrestlePro Podcast with Pat Buck. It's available on iTunes, SoundCloud, all social media platforms. So give it a listen. I know a lot of people do. I think he's spoken to Jack Swagger, Jake the Snake Roberts, Fall Out Bob, Mario Bacara, and the list goes on and on. So again, definitely want to thank him for everything he's done for us this past year, as far as the accessibility of his stars and also the Impact stars and all the other wrestlers too.
Let's also thank our boy Dave Sturcio on that.
Dave Sturcio, we thank you very much. A little was it the respect for getting us all these talents, yeah, especially
if you guys want to listen to him, Destruction 101 as well.
Listen, yes, this is something I want to do. I wanted to say a couple things. Yes, listen to the shows. You have amazing shows on the B Plus Player. You have a genuine taste of wrestling with Sean Donovan. You've got Drink with Gino, which is hilarious. If I want to laugh, I know I'm going to listen to a great show there. So A Drink with Gino, Destruction 101. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling blue, Dave Destruction will kind of get you in the better mood and give you the kick in the butt that you might need for
that. He's like
week.
That motivational speaker that kind of give you a kick in the butt to kind of get you going.
He, if he ever returns to wrestling, which I don't know if he will ever do, if he does it sparingly, he needs to have that gimmick, because he would get so much heel heat, it's not even funny. So that's just a little suggestion there to Dave Sturcio.
Just gave him an idea, maybe.
Yeah, so Destruction 101. I told you, man, when I saw Mike Bennett come out with Maria Kanellis, I thought that is the best gimmick for Dave to come out to. So, you know, whether or not he decides to...
He's just the greatest, greatest. Yeah.
So, mad props to them. And also to Shining Wizards Network, thank you so much. They had their six-year anniversary show. Plus, this past week, they had MJF, and they also had Just Incredible 2 from ECW, too.
That's awesome.
So, that's another great show. And, of course, the Fans Podcast, we thank them for carrying us and dealing with us when he had NXT Weekly, and now we do the show with them. So we give them great content. They really support us too, so we thank you there. WrestlePro is this weekend. Make sure you catch it in Rahway, New Jersey. Alberto El Patron, Eli Drake, Sienna, LAX will all be there, as well as all the WrestlePro superstars. So show the support, and YWE New Jersey will be there. Come say hi. Happy birthday to Michael Cole and Dean Ambrose. Had a past birthday, happy birthday, so happy birthday to them. But I Am Chris Jericho is out. Guys, watch it. It's an awesome show. Make sure you catch that, too. And also, WWE Week on USA Network, Raw, SmackDown Live, NXT is going to be on there, too, and Tribute to the Troops. So make sure you do that. And, of course, guys, we will catch you next week. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berger. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast, as well as the Facebook page, facebook.com/highspotpodcast, and also our brand new spanking website, highspotpodcast.com, and the YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast. Subscribe, get all that great stuff on there. And again, we will see you next week with amazing guests, amazing recaps of everything going on in the wrestling world. And just remember, guys, have a great weekend, and remember, the weekends are for the crew. Oh yeah, and you guys got Giancarlo Stanton. Boo.